All right, hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's Dune. I am one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
All right, welcome back, John, to minute 12 through 13 of the 2021 Dune.
Did I get that right? Yes. 2021.
Why did you look at me like that?
I'm just watching.
You gave me a weird look. You made me feel self-conscious.
I didn't give you a weird look.
You gave me a look like I got something wrong. That's your fucking up look.
Nope.
All right, man. All right. Well, so we're talking about minute 12 through 13 of the 2021 Dune movie, directed by Denis Villeneuve. This minute begins with Paul saying he saw Duncan lying dead. And it ends with Paul walking to a cemetery.
Yep.
So there's some symmetry there, I'm sure.
So the end of last episode, we were talking about how Duncan is happy that Paul has maybe not happy, but he's confident in Paul's vision that Duncan finds the Fremen.
Yeah.
But then Paul immediately rains on Duncan's parade and is like, oh, yeah, also you're dead. So have fun with that.
Is this like when your significant other like has a dream that you like cheated on them?
And yeah. And
you get mad in real life?
Yeah.
or you have that dream and get mad at them in real life?
Yeah.
And this is what it feels like to me.
What did I do? Yeah.
He's like, okay, bud, thanks.
Duncan, of course, is just like, what the fuck? Like, he doesn't say that, but he pauses and he definitely has that look on his face. And we get a hard cut to a brutal scene. I counted. There's 18 bodies, not including Duncan's, dead on the floor. There's blood on the walls and blood all over the floor and stuff.
Did you clock who that was walking through that scene? Was just, I mean, I know it was a, I know, you know, we'll eventually know it's a Sardaukar.
Yeah.
But anyone of significance
no,
that you.
No, there's okay. No one in particular.
Okay.
I don't think other than, I mean, we're going to shoot ahead here, but I think the only like Sardaukar that ever has any kind of like story importance
or dialogue
or,
really,
or like non background acting is just like the one.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true.
That has like two lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think that one Sardaukar necessarily matters, but you are correct. These are Sardaukar. Who we have heard from before. In fact, they're the first thing that we even hear before we see anything in the movie. But as we've discussed earlier, the Sardaukar are the Emperor's most elite army.
It's terror troops.
Yes.
So they call them in the books often. The Emperor's terror troops.
We'll get to the Sardaukar a little bit more later on.
Oh, for sure. We'll spend some intimate moments with the Sardaukar.
But so there's 18 bodies, and then there's also Duncan's body in the middle of the floor.
Gotcha.
He is covered by the one that is kind of walking through, but we can tell that it's Duncan's body because the 19th one is in a black suit rather than the white suits that all the Sardaukar.
Gotcha. That's a real blink and you miss it moment.
Yep. We do get that cut, and then there's a little beetle walking across the ground. Don't think that has any kind of influence or anything special to it. It's just a little desert beetle.
Not that I remember. I'll do some more research for when we get to that part of the movie, but not that I remember right now.
But Paul confesses to Duncan that he felt that had he been there, Duncan would still be alive.
Which, again, I'm going to call back this unearned confidence of a affluent teen.
No, a 16-year-old can fight off the Emperor's.
There is nothing that Paul could have done to save him.
No, He would have gotten in the way.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But I think that is his underlying like reason for this, like, you know, just this obsession with going with him. He's like, you're going to die. I can save you from there. And he talks about it more with his dad later. But yeah, he's just like, that's the ultimate reason why he wants to go with Duncan on the advanced and with the advanced team. He's like, he feels like he could save him for some reason.
I can save him.
Yeah, I can fix him. yeah, so I guess that's the whole point of this whole conversation is take me with you. I can save you.
At which point Duncan turns to Paul and says, first off, not going to die, which.
Here, John, hold this Chekhov's gun that I've, that I've given.
Yeah. I don't want to. I'm not even going to. What? What? I was going to say, I'm not going to ruin what won't become movies.
No, we'll talk more about it. Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. But Duncan isn't wrong here.
He's not wrong per se. I did not want to get into the Golas and the thousands of lives of Duncan, Idaho right now. So I'll either cut this part out or I'll leave everyone in suspense. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see what makes the edit. But we find out now exactly why Paul wants to come with.
Yep.
Like you said, a 16-year-old can hold off the Sardaukar army and save his best friend, Duncan motherfucking Idaho, because Paul has done everything in his life to have the confidence to fight off an entire army.
Yeah. When Duncan kind of shrugs him off a little bit after this, he goes, you're not taking me seriously, which tells me that Paul does believe in his visions.
Sure.
At least to a degree. So he doesn't think they're just dreams. He genuinely believes he's seeing the future.
I will say this is the first time that we see any of Paul's visions where everything is very clear.
It's true.
And it's not like a lot of weird, like jumpy cuts and stuff like that either.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe that's why he feels so strongly about this one.
Yeah. And it's not just, you know, Chani staring back into the camera
through seven like ProMist filters.
Yeah.
They just rub Vaseline on the lens of the camera. Looking like real glad.
And Duncan kind of, you know, decides now's the time to bring Paul back to reality a little bit here when he says, you know, listen, dreams make good stories, but everything happens when we're awake because that's when we make things happen.
Yeah. Which is a good line. I like that line.
Yeah. I think, you know, Duncan recognizes that Paul is a, you know, 16-year-old that thinks he's the shit, and he kind of has to set his friend back a few, you know, or set his friend down a few pegs on the, yeah, on the ladder. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, it read to me, or it sounded like to me, like that was his way of calming him down. You know,
kind of saying, hey, I hear you.
Yeah. I understand that you're having these dreams, but focus, keep yourself grounded. Let's get back to reality.
Yeah.
Everything important happens while we're awake.
Sure. 'Cause
that's when we make things happen.
And then he lightens the mood with with what is probably my favorite exchange in the entire movie, where he's like, hey, look at you. Did you put on some muscle? And Paul's like, I did. And he's like, no. The shit-eating grin that Duncan Idaho has on his face when he says no and then just walks away is so good.
Again, these interactions, these conversations don't happen in the books. They're serving their purpose and they're serving them well for the movie. I feel like that line was written specifically with Jason Momoa's like sense of humor.
Yeah.
And like his, you know, his character that, or his personality that he brings to all of his character. that was written for that and beautifully done. It was very, very funny.
Yeah.
It was our second laugh line of the movie. and I'm trying to think forward. It might be the last.
Yeah, I can't. Like just like quick, like think
like
real
we're
quick.
Intentional laugh line.
Sure.
There are some other funny moments throughout the movie, but like this might be the last like true joke written in this movie.
Last intentional bit of comedy. Yeah. But yeah, so Duncan's got a shitty-eating grin. And he turns around one last time and says, "See you on Arrakis, my boy.
My boy.
My boy."
Yeah.
Definitely that moment definitely felt like a older brother or older cousin kind of picking for on sure. him kind of thing. But like he very clearly still cares about Paul. I mean, once,
yeah.
you know,
that's funny. I have Duncan Idaho seems to be like a big brother to Paul.
Yeah.
Like written in the notes. So that is exactly the relationship that I got from them as well. Yeah, so that's we cut from Duncan to Paul taking a hike.
Well, we cut from Duncan to a shot of Paul being backlit by the daylight of Caladan, and Paul's mm-hmm. standing in this hangar. One thing that I really thought was cool is if you looked at the floor of the hangar, it wasn't just like flat concrete; it was like little hexagonal tiles, but they weren't like perfectly level or anything. Not that this matters. It's an attention to detail thing, and like it's whatever. I just thought it was really cool because they very easily could have just shot this in like a airplane hangar and just kind of like dressed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But like once again, the production team puts in, you know, all these little details on things that don't matter, but they help just make it seem cool.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. You say that. At this point in technological, you know, advancement, we've probably advanced past the wheel.
Yeah.
You know,
probably.
So the floor does not need to be level in a place like, you know, I called it a garage earlier, but in this hangar, where.
Well, we do see the plane and it's got those like articulating feet that kind of come down.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not have, make your floor aesthetically pleasing, if you know, at the sacrifice of function.
Sure.
All right. But yeah, then we get to the countryside of Caladan with Paul taking a hike up to the cemetery. We see some, is there a specific name for these like coffins that are outside, like on top? I know I've seen hundreds of them in New Orleans, but I don't know if there's a specific name for them.
I just always assumed that they were tombs.
Tombs.
But I don't know the...
I'll have to do some research and before we come back and talk about them more.
Yeah, I don't know the semantics of what is a headstone versus a tomb at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Little houses for dead bodies up on the hill.
And there's a lot of them.
It's not a mausoleum because a mausoleum's like bigger. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out and we'll be better educated next time we talk about it. But anything else on this minute, John?
Well, we do get that end shot of this minute of looking from Paul's perspective. We see a group of some guards and near the edge of the cliff is someone who's kind of like hunched over on the ground. One thing that I love is like, yes, Dune is like 30,000-40,000 years in the future, but like the prominence of like what we would call like the older weaponry, like Duncan has his swords and these guards have spears and, you know, stuff like that.
There is a very specific reason for that, which we'll talk about later. We have a scene coming up where I've already got it planned.
Yes.
Where I'm going to talk a lot about this. But yes, there is a highly specific reason for that.
Yeah. I just think it's cool though, because it's like, we have the spacing guild and we have the ability to fold space, but still
the
swords people, and spears. And
the people seem to have gone back to like a feudalistic weaponry.
We see more of the graveyard site, whatever you want to call it, in those guards, standing guard to the hunched over man. Who is this hunched over man? We will find out at the start of the next minute.
That's absolutely right. All right. What would you rate this one?
I'm going to stick to our, you know, to Shai Hulud. Once again, it's more story. You know what? I'm going to give it 2.5 just because of the joke that Duncan pulls on Paul here.
Got a boost for humor.
Yep. Yeah, we got that half point humor boost. So.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Yeah, nothing else. We'll double jeopardy this right there.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, let's meet back up tomorrow and talk about the next minute, and see what's going on in this cemetery.
Yeah. Caladan is super cool. Seeing like these kind of rolling hills and stuff. It's gonna be very. Enjoy the nice weather while you can, because we're probably not going to be here much longer.
Soak up the sun, soak up the water, bring it with you.
Yep.
All right, man. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All righty. See you.
See you.